this is your old chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly, presenting America's Famous Quiz Kids. Now, first of all, I want to congratulate you quiz kids for the way you handled the class while I was gone last week. I noticed you didn't make it easy on yourselves when you each took a turn at Quizmaster, for your own questions were really humdingers. It was a wonderful show, and I got such a big kick out of you kids. And it's good to be back again with all of you. Now, we have two distinguished guests on our program this afternoon, the famous actor Edmund O'Brien and another great entertainer, one of the world's most famous clowns from Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, Felix Adler. So let's get right down to work with your first question for today. Here it is. Where might you see a person do the following? He threw off his birdcage and ran past the woodpile. Now, that's the first question. And while you and our listeners are thinking about that one, we'll have roll call. Joel?
I'm Joel Kupperman. I'm 14 years old, and I'm a junior at Roosevelt High School.
Patrick?
I'm Patrick Owen Conlon. I'm 13 years old, and in the fall, I'll be a freshman at Calumet High School in Chicago.
Good for you, Patty. Marlene?
I'm Marlene Richmond. I'm 15 years old and 3A at Roosevelt High School.
Frankie?
I'm Frankie Vanablook. I'm 6 years old, and I'm at 1B at the Mount Vernon School, Chicago, Illinois.
And the special guest quiz kid who is here as winner of the local New York Quiz Kid program sponsored by the Savings Bank Association of Greater New York, Jonathan.
My name is Jonathan Glogar. I'm going into the fifth grade of PS 152, Brooklyn, New York.
Well, that's a boy, Jonathan. Now then, let's get back to that first question. Where might you see a person doing the following? He threw off his birdcage and ran past the woodpile. Now, we had two hands up, but I don't see them anymore. Now, what happened? Probably thinking about the wrong kind of a woodpile. He threw off his birdcage and ran past the woodpile. Patrick.
Well, this might be sort of a catch. I know in a baseball game you'd call a woodpile a load of bats.
And the birdcage.
And I'm not so sure about the birdcage.
Oh, Pat, Joel.
The bullpen?
No, Jonathan.
Well, would it be the thing that the catcher wears?
No, it's the mask. That's it. That's right, on the baseball field. Fine, kid. Well, that was kind of a toughie to start off with. Now, here's our next one. Out of all the many musical stage hits, can you kids recall two whose names could be located on the map? All right, Marlene.
Could that be South Pacific?
That's one. That's very good. Frankie.
Manhattan Island?
What did you say?
Manhattan Island? Is that a play?
That's all right. That's perfectly all right. Frankie?
Well, it might be Oklahoma, because Oklahoma's a state in the United
States. Well, say, now, what do you know about that? Sure, that's two of them right there. Mm-hmm. By the way, Frankie, could you by any chance sing something from Oklahoma? Or maybe South Pacific?
Well, I can sing one from Oklahoma, and that's called Oh, What a Beautiful Morning.
Oh, fine. Now, let's all be real quiet. Listen to little six-year-old Frankie sing. All right, Frankie.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
Oh, boy. Hey. Another Frankie better watch out. I want to tell you, yes, sirree. Well, you're singing there. Oh, that was dandy. Well, let's get along to our other questions here. What insect might be called the old man of the garden? Jonathan.
Would that be the daddy long legs?
Daddy long legs is right. Now, what might be called a six-legged Rip Van Winkle? Marlene.
Could that be a spider?
The what?
The spider? No.
No, Joel?
Well, could that be the 17-year locust?
That's right. Absolutely, Joel. Good boy. That's correct. Uh-huh. Now, on this next question, kids, puns are in order. Yeah, you must get two out of three. What part of a horse is negative? Puns now, remember. Patrick?
Well, a horse says neigh.
Neigh is right. That's right. What part of a horse is a short story you might tell? Joe.
A tail?
His tail. That's right. And what part of a horse is the name of a state? Pat?
That's Maine.
Maine, right. Well, say, we really scooted right through that one. And now then, kids, it's certainly a real pleasure to introduce one of our famous guests, one whom I know you will enjoy very much, the movie star whom I'm sure you will remember seeing in Fighter Squadron, The Killers, White Heat, DOA, and many other outstanding films. And here he is, Mr. Edmund O'Brien. Mighty glad to have you here with us, Edmund.
Thanks, Joe.
You see, folks, Mr. O'Brien is here in Chicago for the opening of his new movie tomorrow at the Woods Theater. And since the title of his movie is 7-Eleven Ocean Drive, he thought it'd be a lot of fun for himself and the kids if he were to portray characters from other mystery stories which are associated with a particular street or address. So, Edmund, I'll just turn the class over to you.
All right, Joe, here we go. Now, here's the first question, kids. What address do you associate with the character that I'm going to try to represent with this first question? What address do you associate with the character I'm going to represent with this first question? I'll see if I can play the part. Madam, I see you had a good drive in a dog cart along heavy roads before you reached the station. There is no mystery, my dear madam. The left arm of your jacket is spattered with mud in no less than 7 places. The marks are perfectly fresh. There is no vehicle save a dog cart which throws up mud in that way, and then only when you sit on the left-hand side of the driver. Pat.
Well, I think that was a Sherlock Holmes story, and that's 221 Baker Street, I think.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's really great, Pat. Good boy. Now, here's the second question. What street might you associate with this story? A madman has done this deed. Some raving maniac, Dupin. His hair is most unusual. This is no human hair. Joe?
That'd be Rue Morgue. I believe Poe wrote it.
And what would the name of the street be? What was the story called?
Rue Morgue, I think.
That's right. The murders in the Rue Morgue. That's wonderful, Joe. Good boy.
Ed, I'll tell you what I think we ought to do. Now, I've got an idea here.
Right, yeah.
I think we ought to stage a big preview right here in our classroom of your new movie that opens here tomorrow that I told the folks about. And I'll hand out parts to... I'll hand out parts to the quiz kids so you kids can help Mr. O'Brien out. Of course, since the movie hasn't opened yet, you won't know the story of it. So I'll give you a second or two to look over your lines, and we'll let our audience judge on the basis of your preview whether they think the movie should be a success. All right, now, have you looked over your parts? Fine. Now, let's see here. Mr. Edmund O'Brien takes the role of Mal. Marlene, you are Gail. Jonathan, you will be the guide of the tour. Patrick and Joel are police officers. And Frankie, you're a big government official.
Oh!
And since you haven't had reading yet, Frankie, I'll help you with your part, and I'll tell you when to come in and what line to say when it comes your turn. All right, now, I want you kids to really act all over the place here, and let's really put this on Hollywood style, if I may say it. All right, we're ready now for the big show to start, and we hear the guide saying... All right, the guide comes in.
The 7 giant generators you see here are driven by turbines located 40 feet below each generator.
Hang on just a little longer, baby. I'll figure a way to get out of here. This place must be honeycombed with tunnels.
There they are. They got through with the sightseers.
The large drum-like structures beside us are step-up transformers.
They'll be coming down the elevator. If we can get to the other side first, that's all we need, honey. While they're searching the dam, we'll come up in Arizona.
I can't go any further, Mel. I just can't.
Yeah, but you have to, baby. Remember what we always said? We go together or not at all.
All right, Frankie, you say, there they go. Come on.
Come on, Frankie, that's you.
Somebody lift him up there to my...
There they go.
Come on.
Once more, Frankie.
There they go.
Yeah. They're still going.
Well, get them.
Gail, you hide here while I shake them off. I'll come back for you.
Yeah, Frankie, it's your turn again. Get him up there to the microphone real quick. You say, it's the girl. Grab her.
It's the the girl. It's the girl.
Yeah, grab her. Yes. Too bad.
Take the girl up to my car. We'll keep after him.
We are now 560 feet below the dam and 670 feet above sea level.
Keep your hands on your knees, deputy. I came back for you, Gale. Get out the other side of the car and get his gun.
Oh, no, you don't. I thought you'd make a grandstand play for Helen, so I came back to drop that gun.
The girl's name is Gale. All right, government official. Frankie, you say, good work, officer. You're a
good
credit
work,
to the
officer,
force.
You're a credit to the force.
Hey!
Company of actors I've ever been in.
Say, that big government official, he really went to town. Well, from that rough idea, I believe our audience thinks 7-Eleven Ocean Drive will be pretty good, but it'll probably be better to really see the actual picture at the Woods Theater and judge for ourselves. I want to thank you, Edmund O'Brien, for taking time out to come up here and be with us in our classroom, and we wish you all the luck in the world. Well, now let's see what's next. Oh, here's a difficult musical test quiz, kids. Often we think we know certain well-loved classical numbers, but when we come down to really humming the way they start off, we find we are stumped. And I've asked our organist, Lou Webb, to play the end of three well-known compositions, and you kids are to identify them and, if possible, hum the beginning. All right, Lou, let's have the first one. How about that? Can any of you identify that was the ending of a certain classical composition? No? No hands? Marlene, do you?
I'm not sure. Is that Polichinelle by Rachmaninoff?
No, dear. No, it's really by Tchaikovsky. Uh-huh. That's a clue. Joe? Oh.
Dance of the Flowers?
No, no. Marlene?
Is it a duel, a waltz in,
by no. Tchaikovsky? No. Humoresque. Humoresque. Well, we didn't get the first part, but that's all right now. Don't worry about it. Let's see what we do with the second part. Frankie?
That sounds to me like the Swan by Saint Saëns.
That's right, Frankie. Now, that's right, too, yeah. Now, we just heard the ending. Can you sort of hum the beginning for us? He's a good hummer, isn't he? Yeah. That was all right, Frankie. Yes, sir. For a little six-year-old boy, I think that was amazing. Now, here's the last one. That one. This last one is rather mysterious. Joel?
Is that Sweet Mystery of Life?
That's just what it is. That's right. Now, Joel, can you hum the beginning for us? From the 12 tasks given to Hercules to prove his strength, can you kids name three that you would not particularly care to do yourself? Pat?
Well, Hercules, I know, was supposed to kill the Nemean lion.
Yes,
and
you wouldn't want to do that.
I don't want to go tackling any lions.
All right.
And likewise, he was supposed to kill a hydra, a very mysterious creature in that time, and I had about 1,000 heads or something.
Now, you wouldn't want any
and
part
I don't
of
want that.
That.
And then he had to clean up some stables that belonged to Aegis.
Uh-huh.
And I don't like to clean up very well either.
Well, let's see.
And
had
to catch a boar.
Yeah.
Very well. And he also had to run after a deer, if I remember.
Yeah. And that's very good, Pat. And Frankie has his hand up. What are you going
to
say?
Well, we had to get three golden apples, and I would like to I would like to do that if I had to hold the sky up.
Well, say, it would be a rather difficult feat, wouldn't it? Hold this guy up. And... Well, those were all good, kids. Now, this question reviews some of the great discoveries made in medicine in the last half century. We'll begin with recent discoveries and travel back through the last 50 years. And you, kids, are to identify the great men associated with each. And you must get 2 out of 3 on this. Who is noted for discovering penicillin in the year 1929? Jonathan.
I think that was Fleming.
That's right, Dr. Alexander Fleming. Who discovered the cause of Texas fever? Jonathan?
Uchi.
Oh, you're thinking about somebody else, huh? Who discovered the cause of Texas fever? His last name begins with an S. Theobald Smith, about 1890. Most unusual name. Who discovered the cure for rabies? Jonathan.
Pasteur.
That's right, my boy. Very good. Mm-hmm. Now, say, here comes another big surprise. You're going to meet an old friend, boy, oh boy, one that you may have admired and enjoyed many, many times at the circus, and one that you're going to enjoy actually meeting in person. The famous king of clowns of the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, Mr. Felix Adler. Felix has got a great big alarm clock strapped around his ankle. He pulls his pant leg up to see what time it is. He's all dressed up in his clown suit. Felix, I'm so glad to see you. Why, I understand that you have some questions that of your own that you want to ask the children. How about that?
Oh, yes, Joe. I have a few questions. May I ask them?
Yes, what's the umbrella up for, is it?
That's to keep my nose from getting sunburned.
Oh,
I haven't got much time. You see, the Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Circus is now in progress, and I have to hurry back to the Soldiers Field and take part in this beautiful spec holidays. So I'm going to ask these questions very quickly. Now, wait a minute. I think I'll make it animals.
Well, I think you'd better stand over here by the microphone.
Oh, I see.
On this side.
I want you to
look at the kids. Yeah. Don't back up to it because you won't get very close to it.
Being that I'm with the circus and we have a very beautiful menagerie with almost any kind of an animal you want to see with the Ringling Show, I'm going to ask you about animals. So, how about a zebra? Is a zebra a white animal with black stripes or a black animal with white stripes? He's got his hand up there. Jonathan?
Well, I don't know. It could be either.
Joe?
Well, technically, since a white is a mixture of all colors and therefore is a combination of black with others, you could say that it's a black animal with white stripes.
Madeline?
I think it's a white animal with black stripes.
Well, I don't know. You can think anything you want. But I'll tell you one thing. Did you know that you can take your finger and put it on an ink pad and make a mark like that, and you can be identified by that fingerprint?
Yeah.
Well, did you know that a zebra can be identified by his stripes just like that? Because there's no two zebras ever been striped identically the same. Now, you didn't know that, did you?
No.
Uh-huh. Now, I'm going to ask you another question. What is a leopard? A leopard. All right, Jonathan?
Isn't that a member of the cat family?
A what?
A member of the cat family.
Yes, a member of the cat family. Pat?
Well, it's a carnivore, technically. It's
It's what?
It's a carnivore.
Oh, my goodness.
You're... Animal.
Your vocabulary is too copious for my diminutive comprehension. Yeah. Joe?
Well, it's an animal that lives in tropical regions that is, like Pat said, is carnivorous, and it has teeth specially equipped for that purpose, and
oh,
it is generally
goodness.
Known to be ferocious.
I don't think the zebra... I don't think the leopard even knew that. Frankie?
Well, a leopard might... belong to the cat family, and I think it has brown and white stripes.
No, what do you call that, Joe? That's a tiger, isn't it? Yeah, that's a tiger. No, Madeline?
Well, Joel took everything I was going to say.
Well, what does it look like? What does a zebra look like?
Oh, it's a zebra.
A zebra?
Isn't that a leopard?
A leopard. What do you think when you see a leopard? What does it look like?
Oh, he looks like a panther, doesn't he?
No, what particular...
His teeth.
What's that?
Well, it has spots on it.
That's right. A leopard has spots. Now, here's something I want to ask you boys. Does a leopard change its spots? All right, Pat?
Well, Mr. Redley, I think I did hear once that it did change spots.
Yeah?
From its early stages.
All right, Madeline?
Yes, they do change spots.
Joe?
Not very often, though.
Well, I'm in no position.
Frankie, how about you? You look like you know something there. Ain't he cute, though? Can I adopt him, Joe? Maybe I can learn something from him. Frankie, what do you think?
Well, maybe a leopard might have brown spots.
Yeah. It does change its spots. You're right, Joel. It goes from this spot to that spot.
Ah!
And a giraffe, you know what that is, don't you, Frankie? An animal with a long neck. Uh-huh. And a giraffe with his long neck, it's impossible for him to stoop down without getting down his knees to pick an object up off the ground. And with his long neck, he has never been known to make any kind of an outcry or anything. You see, they have no vocal cords. And when they want to talk to their sweetheart or anything, they say, come up and see me sometime. You know, with the eyes. Well, anyway, their only protection, a giraffe, is their speed. You wouldn't think to look at those big things that could run, but they really can travel. And they have razor-sharp hoofs. And they're and a terrific speed they use to get away and to strike with those hoofs. So if you're ever around a giraffe, don't get near his hoofs, Frankie, will you? Huh? Now I want to ask you another question. This is probably the last one. Does any of you boys know the difference between an elephant and a flea? Madeline?
Isn't a flea very small? An elephant's very large and also...
Joel?
Well, also, a flea is an arthropod while an elephant is a chordate.
Oh, my goodness. So you broke my jaw that time. Frankie?
Well, maybe he would... Just like he said, an elephant.
Jonathan's laughing there. Now, John, what do you know?
Nothing.
Madeline, you got your hand up.
I should think that a flea doesn't usually. A flea usually goes on elephants and or dogs. Is it lives
Pat,
only
were
on dogs?
You going to tell me something?
I was not. No.
Well, I'll tell you the difference between an elephant and a flea. An elephant can have fleas, but a flea can't have elephants.
Oh.
Well, that's fine, boys. I get this.
Now, Billy, that was a lot of fun, but I think it'd be only fair to let the quiz kids ask you some questions.
I'm going
to
break in another pair of shoes for my girl. My feet are killing me.
How about that? Now, who wants to start?
Here's
your chance to ask the king of the clowns. A question. You stand over there by your microphone.
Oh, I got to get over there. I like that.
Yeah. All right, Marlene.
Could you please tell me what is the difference between the kind of humor a clown portrays and the kind of humor a comedian portrays?
Well, yes, I can, Madeline. A clown has to go more for pantomime, and he really has no collective audience. With a big circus like Ringling Brothers and Bonham Bailey Circus, your audience is not collected. And as you move from one spot to the other, you have to have an identically different audience than you had before. And a clown must get his laughs on the spur of the moment, like he must accentuate his costumes. So that when the people look at him, they laugh, and I bet you 5 seconds after you've laughed at that clown, Madeline, that someone say, what are you laughing at there, Madeline? You wouldn't know what the clown limit, yet you had your laugh, and it's a comedy relief that ever kind of entertainment needs.
No, I don't think a comedian does dress the same way as a clown.
Well, no, you see, there's a medium between comedy and tragedy that all comedians must use. They must be able to make you feel sorry for them and then make you laugh at the same time. It's a very fine medium between those two. The successful comedian or clown is a man who can use those things.
All right.
Hello there, Joe.
Joe's next.
Well, if you would start all over again, would you be a clown again?
Oh, I have a wonderful poem for that, Joel, if I only had time to recite it. The old clown song. You can find that in Clint Berry's book of circus poems, the old clown song. And that is my answer to it. If I had my life to live over again in this world of contention and selfish men, I'd choose, I'm sure, to again be a clown and think up more antics to banish the frown. For by playing the fool, and I've forgotten the rest of it. Think it unwise, and think it much better a rich man to be. But the touch of gold seems to harden the heart where they lose the great joy in a human part. Now, I don't know, I tried to knock that off there, Joel, but if you get that book of poems, they're very beautiful. The late Clint Y. Berry.
I think
Hello,
Pat
Frankie.
Has a question.
Well, Mr. Eller, do you think that I can grow up to be a clown someday?
Well, Frankie, I think that your ambition should be to grow up and be another Frankie Sinatra. With that voice of yours, I heard you sing a little while ago. You know, Bing Crosby is a very good singer, but I'm better still. What am I saying? Frankie, I think if I were you, I'd just keep going right on getting a good education. And then if you want to be a clown, all right. It's a lot of fun sometimes. Pat, what did you want?
Well, Mr. Adler, I'd like to know how you happened to choose your profession. It's rather unusual.
Well, it's a long story. I could give you a long story on that, too. But when I was a little boy, I ran away from home. I was born in Clinton, Iowa. And I joined the circus. And, of course, I was taken back home again. And I done that so many times that finally my dad said, well, maybe it'd be better to let him go with the circus. We know where he's at then, see? And so I went with the circus off and on. In the summertime, I'd go to the circus. In the wintertime, I'd go to school. But I think every boy, I've had a wonderful life with the Ringling Bonham Show for 40 years. And I think every boy should get a very fine education, equip himself with an education or some kind of a trade before they think about running away from home. Hello there, Jonathan.
Well, I just want to know, is a clown really happy in his private life? This is sort of private affair.
Well, Jonathan, I want to tell you something. Everybody has the opinion that when they walk down through Clown Alley, that's the part of the dressing room where the clowns hang their costumes and change into their clown outfits, that they're going to find it strewn with broken hearts. But that's not so. Clowns are really very jolly, happy people, and when anyone wants to laugh, they usually come over to Clown Alley, and the straight actors, or kinkers, as we call them, because they're always playing practical jokes on people. But clowns are really not broken hearted. That's from all those old laugh clown laugh stories and Pagliacci and all that sort of thing. They think that the clown, although he's being funny out there, he's secretly in love with the beautiful bespangled bareback rider, and she's in love with the strong man in the sideshow, or something like that. But that's not so. Clowns are very versatile. The clowns at our show, among our 100 clowns, I think we have all kinds of acrobats, good ball players, football players, and everything. And, Joe, you're going to cut my throat. Right?
No, I'm not either. I just want to say that was very, very interesting. Felix, tell me, where's the big top go you're leaving tonight after tonight's performance? Where do you go tomorrow?
You see, Danville, Illinois, and then we go to Evansville, Indiana, where I know there's a lot of fans down there listening to this program because I had lots of letters from the TV program.
Well, thanks so much for coming up, and a lot of luck to you, Felix.
Bring
nice working with you again.
Pleasure seeing you again.
Okay.
Joe, and all the kids.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye,
kids.
Goodbye,
everybody.
Well, my goodness, we were having so much fun, I thought we'd just begun. Yeah, but we'll have a lot of fun again next week, and while the judges are busy adding up your scores, I want to tell you about the very special guest, folks, we'll have on our program next week. We will be honored to hear from the Secretary of the Treasury of the United States, Mr. John W. Snyder. Now, let's see. Here are your grades, kids. Let's see who won today. Remember, whether you win or lose, you will each receive a $100 savings bond for your future education. As a group, you didn't miss any questions, and after taking into consideration your age as well as the number of questions you answered correctly, the final report is Patrick was first, Frankie second, Joel third. And, of course, Jonathan was not scored because he was a guest quiz kid. Now, so you three, together with Brenda Liebling, 6 years, and Rennie Templeton, age 15, will make up our class for next week. So until next Sunday, this is Joe Kelly dismissing the quiz kids. Goodbye, kids.
Goodbye, Kelly.
Quiz Kids is a Lewis G. Collin production. Programs, get your programs here. For your later evening listening pleasure, NBC presents an hour of varied entertainment tonight. First, MC Jack Parr asks those $64 questions on Take It or Leave It. Then comes a change of pace and the Pet Milk Show with Kay Armon and Emil Cote's orchestra. Remember, Take It or Leave It and the Pet Milk Show tonight. Diagnosis Homicide. Hear it next on NBC.